and back to their rubbish collecting. His mother wasn't pleased to see the mud on his clothes and brushed him down with a heavy hand before softly cuffing his ear. "Look at the mess you've made, and there's no time to wash your britches." There was something in her voice that told him it wasn't only his muddy clothes that had put her in a foul humour, but something else. He murmured sorrowfully, "Sorry, it was just a bit of fun." She nodded, but didn't say anything more, and took his hand as they walked on. They caught a horse bus to King's Cross Station, and she went in to inquire about trains. He sighed as he waited and rubbed his cold hands together, blowing on them to make them warmer. "So, where to now? Another town? Not staying in London anyway." "Did you get another gaff, Mother?" he asked as they left the concourse. "Where are we going?" He shivered. It was cold and starting to drizzle with icy rain. "Oh, can't we stay in London? Are you going to do a pantomime?" "Don't say gaff," she told him. "A booking, you mean." "No, I didn't, and no, we can't, except for tonight, and no, I'm not. We'll try for lodgings at Mrs. Andrews, and then tomorrow? Tomorrow." She took a sharp breath and he looked up at her. Her face was pinched and she looked unhappy. "Tomorrow we'll catch a train and move on." She looked down at him, touched his cheek with a cold finger, and then looked away. "We'll move on to another life." "Where to?" he asked again. "Home," she said. "We're going home." Except it wasn't home to her anymore, if in truth it ever had been, she sighed to herself, as they climbed aboard another horse bus, and she hadn't yet thought through the next plan. She'd left over 10 years ago and had never been back. Every year, just before Christmas, she had sent studio photographs, bought with money she could ill afford to spend. One of her, though not in stage costume, and one of her son, so that her parents could see him as he grew from an infant to a handsome boy of 10. She always sent a forwarding address, but not once had they written back to her. It was as if she didn't exist, and they could be dead for all she knew, and she'd never find out, because no one, not a single person, knew where she was. "Come on," she said, "this is our stop." She lifted her skirt so that it didn't trail in the mud, for this was not a wholesome area, although considered semi-respectable by stage performers who couldn't afford to be choosy. "I just hope she'll take us," she murmured. "If we're going to Mrs. Andrews's, she said last time that I couldn't stay again," he reminded her. "I know," his mother answered, "but don't take it personally. She doesn't take any children, not just you." A brisk, severe-looking woman answered to her knock on the door of the terraced house. "Yes? Ah, Miss Delamore." His mother stared at her as if she'd just remembered something. Delia Delamore. Her real name was Dorothy Deakin, but she never used it. Mrs. Andrews looked down at the boy.
"I thought I said that you couldn't bring the lad again. It's not that I don't like children, but it's not a suitable environment for them, unless, of course, they're performers themselves."
"I know you did, but could you make an exception? Just this once?" She hated pleading with the old hag, but it had to be done. "It's only for tonight. I'm taking him home, you see. We're catching a train tomorrow morning and just need a bed for tonight." Her voice fell away. She was desperate. What would they do if the woman refused? Mrs. Andrews drew herself upright.
"It ain't right for a boy to share a bed with his mother, and I don't have any spare singles."
"He's only 9, Mrs. Andrews," she pleaded, knocking a year off his age. "And as I say, I won't bother you ever again. We're heading north, you see."
"North?"
the landlady spluttered, as if she'd just heard of the last place on earth.
"Phew, you'd better come in, then."
Jack bounced on the bed in the shabby but almost adequate bedroom.
"Mother," he said, "will there be icebergs?"
"What? What are you talking about?" She was wrapping a warm scarf round her neck. It was freezing in this top floor room, with the draft whistling.